Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you from the Hoover Institute broadcast studios on the Stanford campus. I got to tell you something. I'm sure the folks at the business school here at Stanford would be unimpressed with the latest move of the courts in Washington State signing off on a capital gains tax as not an income tax. It was passed about 2 years ago by the Washington legislature. It puts a big tax on the sale or exchange of long-term capital assets, things like stocks and bonds and all that. And the immediate reaction after the Supreme Court's decision was that Fisher Investments, one of the biggest investment companies in America, said, okay, that's it. We're packing up and we are leaving our headquarters in Camas. We're taken off to a different state. This is just too much. It sounds like it is going to be, well, in some ways, financial suicide or treasury suicide for the state of Washington to say, we're going to raise taxes on really rich people. I don't happen to be affected by the tax. I'm not that rich. I wish I were, but I'm not. But the fact is, they're going to do damage to the state of Washington and frighten away a lot of good investment in the state because of this. So I thought we'd talk about it with Washington State Senator Linda Wilson, a Republican. I wish I could talk to a few Democrats about the fact that they did this. Senator, welcome and good to have you back.
Thank you so much for having me today.
How much damage is this going to do to the state, and is the state actually going to make more money?
Well, this particular tax, they say, is supposed to bring in about half a billion, right, except for, like you say, they don't know because the very first thing that happened was Fisher Investment decided to move out of the state, which is exactly what we told them would happen. Because that's the same thing that happened when they brought up the wealth tax. When we heard that, it's like, no, these people aren't going to move. They're not going to move. It just doesn't happen. And then the very first thing is, I mean, like within hours, I think Ken Fisher put the statement out and said, we're leaving.
Yep.
So I don't know why they wouldn't, to be honest.
But, well, in fact, Senator, the thing people, I guess, don't realize on the Democrat Party side of the aisle where you operate in the legislature is that wealthy people especially have the ability to move mm-hmm. themselves and their residence and their business. It's the average Joe or Jane who yep. drives a truck or works at an ordinary job, who has a retail store and all these ties to the community. They say, I can't pack everything up and leave because mm-hmm. Olympia jacked up my rate of taxation. But folks who've got major amounts of money, the Bezos and the Gates of this world, and Ken Fisher, who had already left the region, he's already moved, but now he's moving the company, they say, oh, you're going to give us an incentive to leave? Fine, see you later. And they go right out the door. Do your Democrat friends across the aisle not understand that?
They don't believe it. They just don't believe that it's going to happen. So we keep telling them, we tell them a lot of things over the course of these bills and years, and then they come true, and then they wonder why, and they say it's unintended consequences. But no, we've told you this will happen, and that's what's going on. And, you know, the thing is, they keep telling us that this is going to fix the regressive tax structure that the state has. This is not going to do anything with their concern for that because they haven't adjusted this tax structure. They're only taxing more rich people, supposedly rich, right? But they're not doing anything about lowering taxes, sales tax, gas taxes, anything like that on the lower income people.
Well, I mean, for instance, the one that I just saw a press release come out of, I think it was WashDOT, they say, hey, look at this, the big climate auction just pulled in $300 million. This is where they raised the carbon tax on the mm-hmm. people who produce gasoline and diesel. Well, who do they think that's going to fall on? The oil companies are going to say, fine, we'll pass it along to our customers, and you'll see it at the pump, except it won't be labeled a tax because the tax is already baked into the fuel before it ever arrived at the gas station. But who's going to pay most on that, and who's it going to hit the hardest? The average Joe or Jane who has to fill their work truck or their transportation car, they're going to pay the bill. Is Bill Gates worried about the fact that his jet fuel is going to cost a little bit more? Probably not. But all these other people get hit, so they put in a very regressive tax on fuel, on carbon, which translates as a tax on fuel and natural gas and all that, and then they're all worried about being progressive? They're not very bright, are they?
Not when it comes to this, that's for sure. I mean, their whole shtick about this was that the oil companies would absorb the increase.
Out of the goodness of their hearts. Out of the goodness of their hearts, right?
Right. Now, but that's how they look at everybody, right? You increase regulations, you increase it on business. Business is supposed to absorb it. We're not supposed to take it, you know, let it trickle down to the, and that's what happens.
Okay, so here's what my concern is, or my biggest fear, or almost certainty. Do you remember that America's income tax started on only the very rich and only a small percentage? Except now it's on the average people as well in this country, and it's a much bigger percentage, and it took a while to get there. My fear is they knew this was going to happen, the Democrats who pushed this garbage, and the courts who signed off and said, well, it looks like an income tax, it walks like an income tax, and it quacks like an income tax, but we're going to decide for the first time in American history that an income tax is not an income tax, and therefore it's constitutional. That's what the knuckleheads on the Washington State Supreme Court said, that the first thing the Democrats will say is, well, we came up short of our $500 million. So I'll tell you what, we're going to lower include more things in this capital gains definition, and we're going to lower the income thresholds to capture some more money. So they're going to go after people that are that's what they're going to do, isn't it?
Exactly. In fact, there was a bill, and I can't find it, but there I read the bill earlier this year, and they increased it. They already increased the 7% in that bill before they even knew that it was constitutional or not. So clearly the bill hasn't moved forward, but it was to fund whatever it was, and I cannot remember what it is, but I know that I saw it. So already they're looking at raising it above 7%, or they'll reduce the exemption. Right.
Or they'll lower the income threshold, and they'll say, you know, we didn't get the really rich people. Let's go for the next to the really rich people. And they'll keep working their way down until it hits everybody in the state, won't they?
Yeah. Well, that's the goal. They said we there was public records that came out, and that one of the senators here said the goal was to fully fund an income tax and do that with just a simple majority vote, so it wouldn't have to go to the people. So that's the goal. And quite frankly, in this opinion of the Supreme Court, they actually said, and basically set it up, so they question the Culleton, which is the case from years and years ago, the Supreme Court. They're questioning that and basically opening it up to say, run another bill, bring it back to us, and we'll probably decide it's different. So they already open it up to that.
They let the camel's nose get under the tent, and pretty soon both humps are going to be inside, and it'll be the Democrats who are driving that camel. Senator Linda Wilson, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.